And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
The country's tea party, we refuse to fall to the gangs being played behind White House walls.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. I am Mark Gillar. Our special guest today is Mr. David Saucedo, a.k.a. Politech, a young man who has been captivating audiences from coast to coast with his own unique brand of Tea Party rap, which blends traditional rap, history, and politics all into one package. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on.
It was a pleasure meeting you in College Station, Texas at the Wise Up, Rise Up rally. I think your story is an incredible one. Frankly, even if you were not a musical talent, it would still be incredible. But before we get into your music, tell the folks a little bit about your fascinating story. I understand it was not all peaches and cream in the early days. Tough neighborhood, a little bit of a troubled youth background, and talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I mean, I love the name of that last, the rally that we met at, Wise Up, Rise Up, because it says a lot about my story. You know, you could say that and it would kind of sum it up. I grew up in a typical low-income household. You know, I never really had an interest in learning. You know, I went through school very apathetic. All around me was drugs and violence and alcohol and the typical low-income environment. And, you know, because of that, I decided to fall into those kinds of influences, and it led me down a path of destruction. You know, I ended up getting involved with drugs and violence and alcohol and just the negative environment in general. And
how old were you then?
It started off in elementary school. You know, I started being exposed to the drugs and weed in particular, marijuana in particular. And, you know, it sounds very horrible, you know, but, I mean, that's the reality of the environment that I grew up in. By middle school, I started experimenting with alcohol and started going to parties. And by the time I got to ninth grade, I was so distracted from life that I dropped out of school and started living in the streets. You know, I moved out of my house when I was 17. I moved to Fort Worth, which is a bigger city, bigger environment, and ended
more
up
chances
really,
to get in trouble.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. It was a lot more opportunities to get in trouble and a lot more negative influences, and that's where I decided to break into a house. And when I got caught breaking into that house, I went to prison for 3 years, and I was released from prison in 2007. So I spent from 2004 to 2007 in prison here in Texas, and ended up that final year in prison. I wanted something different. You know, I was very, very disappointed in myself. I was disappointed in where I was in life. I've always had a dream to be a good parent, and even going through what I was going through, you know, making the ignorant decisions that I was making, I really always dreamed of being a good parent. I wanted to be a dad and be a good dad, you know. And when I that final year in prison, I just was really let down and decided to start reading. But I read self-help books and, you know, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, and a lot of books that are similar to that, you know, business books and stuff like that. And I learned how to want to learn. You know, I think that was a very important part of my transition into a positive lifestyle, just wanting something different. I was tired and disappointed. So when I got out of prison, I met my wife three days after I got out of prison, and I mean, I was so focused on making something happen for myself when I got out of prison that I had a job. 3 days after I got out of prison, I had a job, and I mean, it was a restaurant job. I was washing dishes, but I was so hungry for it. I wanted something. I knew I had to start somewhere, and when I walked into the restaurant my first day, my wife was the hostess that was greeting people. She wasn't my wife.
Wow.
But I said hello to her, and we We learned a whole lot more about each other what those first few weeks that I started working there, and we come to learn that we both dealt with similar backgrounds, and I talked to her about what I wanted in life and what I was doing, and we were friends, at first, and we ended up going through getting to know each other, and then started dating, and she ended up getting pregnant, and when she got pregnant, everything came down on me like a ton of bricks, and I was like, even though I was doing good things, I was positive, I wasn't going to church, I wasn't a Christian, I just, I was focused on trying to make things happen, and it was that event in my life that I just really, really became unsure of where I was at. Okay, here it's, here I am facing being a parent like I've always wanted to be, but working at a restaurant washing dishes isn't going to cut it. I started realizing that, and just in my desperation, I cried out to God, and I just, even though I didn't know God, I didn't know a whole lot about Jesus or the Bible, so to say, never went to church, I decided to go and visit church on my own. And one sermon that the minister gave that Sunday morning, I decided that I was going to take God up on his offer. And I told God that no matter what, I said, I'll be real with you. I'll do everything that you say, and I'll see how real you are. And I know that it's probably not the best way to approach it, but that's where I was at. That's the mentality I had. And I was like, I'm tired. I just want to be a good dad. I want to do whatever I have to do. And I started taking it seriously. And I started learning God's word. I started reading the Bible, doing Bible studies, and hanging around Christians. And it just transformed my life to a point where, I grew and got involved in ministry. I ended up quitting my job, and I wanted to do ministry full time. So I took off walking through the streets of Waco. I saved up some money and took off walking and meeting one person at a time, sunburn on my head, I walked miles and miles around Waco talking to people and seeking out different people who were in ministry. And I ended up getting me a job working in ministry for $100 a week, volunteering for Right Track. Well, at first I was a volunteer when I found Right Track Ministries, and I just stayed at it. I've stayed focused, and we've had setbacks. We've had situations in life, and the devil's come at us in a bunch of different directions, but I've stayed dedicated to it. And in 2009, when the Tea Party sprang up, I had worked my way up from a volunteer to a paid staff for $100 a week, and I was very curious as to what they were doing, what's rally all about, what's this protest about. I've never seen a real protest, and I walked up to them, and that a woman walked up to me and gave me a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution, and I read it, and I just fell in love with the Declaration of Independence. I mean, I love the Constitution too, but the Declaration was just inspiring to me, and I stuck to it like glue, man, and I just kept learning and learning about America the same way that I took it seriously, learning God's word and getting involved in the local church and local ministry. I took the same seriousness at learning about American history, and because of the Tea Party, because of the Tea Party movement, today I understand American history and the original intentions of the American experiment, unlike anyone that I know in my original circle of influence, and which is ministry in the church circle. And I've just been fighting hard for it. My daughter's battling cancer right now, and she was diagnosed in July with leukemia, and she's kicking its butt. But it's just like my wife and I have dedicated our lives to God first and foremost, and the hip hop I've been doing, I've used that for ministry for a while now. And so it just made sense for me to include this new aspect of my life, which is political activism, in my music, and that's where that song you played, Freedom, comes from. And you know, we're a little bit different. You know, we've pledged to God that we would stay living exactly where we are, which is in East Waco. We live in one of the lowest income communities in Waco. We own our home, which is a blessing from God. 3 days after I got involved in ministry, where I decided that I was going to serve God full time, not 3 days, 3 months, I'm sorry, where I said I'm going to dedicate it all. I'm going to get into ministry, and this is what I'm going to do. I am going to make a living by serving God. That's what I'm going to make a life out of. And, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, you know, it justifies that. But 3 months after I decided to do that, the Lord blessed us with a brand new home. I mean, this is a 2-bedroom, brand new brick house, never been lived in before we moved in. It was built in 2005, and it's in the center. I mean, it's like in the center of one of the lowest income areas in Waco. It's like it doesn't belong here, and I bought it. It's a $67,000 house that I bought for $600. I mean, it's miraculous. That
might be a whole show in itself.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I mean, it's not just the house. It's crazy at how God has put me where I'm at today. I mean, the things that have happened in my life since I decided to make that commitment to God that I'll give you everything. I will give you everything. I just want to be a good parent. That was the original outcry for me. I just want to be a provider and a good parent. I don't want to raise my babies around the same influences that I was raised around. I want them to have something different. And that's my American dream. You know, that's the dream that I have in this great nation that I had no clue about. And so getting back to the Tea Party, you know,
Let me interrupt you for just 1 second. You mentioned the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I had the privilege to do is watch your wife and daughter watch you while you were on stage in College Station. And I can tell you that they were both beaming with pride. I mean, from a distance, it's obvious that you guys just look like quintessential, perfect American dream family. All you know, you guys look great together, and you know, I can just tell you that they are super, super proud of Dad.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, you remember, I had my little table set up not too far from where you were set up, and I was just kind of looking over, and I could see the pride, you know, in what Dad and hubby was doing there. So you, mm-hmm. you know, you're fighting a lot of stuff. I did not know about your daughter's leukemia, but I can just tell you guys are a picturesque American family. And I'm sure you have, because I can already sense you're a very, you know, ambitious guy who's going to work his tail off to achieve for God, for the Tea Party movement. And you strike me as one of those I'm third guys, if not one of those I'm fourth guys. But in a lot of ways, man, you've got the American dream already. You do.
Absolutely. You know, and that if you look at my website, it's God, family, then freedom. I mean, it's in that order. You know, I'm pledged to God first and foremost, and after God is my wife, and then my family, and then everything else. And so that's just how I operate. And, you know, my wife and I, we prayed about it, and we, before the Tea Party, before we had our home, before we had anything, you know, we made a pledge to God that we would stay dedicated, that we would give it all back, that we would pledge our lives. I mean, and that's how come the Declaration of Independence hit me. That final sentence in the Declaration of Independence was, it connected with me in a way that it just meant something. It was like a confirmation that this is where I want you to be, you know, for the defense of this, for the defense of this document, we'll pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And we've dedicated our life to this, everything that above and beyond what we need to live comfortably, we're going to put it back into being leaders. You know, we want to be an example of Christians. And so, you know, when I performed, when I met the Tea Party, I wrote Freedom, went to one of their meetings that they were having, a volunteer meeting, and I wanted to share the music. They said they had a little show coming up in September of 2009, and I said, oh, that's cool, you know, I'll perform for a couple hundred people. Because at their protest, there was probably 200 to 300 people there, and I was like, wow, this is a pretty good crowd. And so I decided that I would write a new song for their little event that their little event that they had coming up, and when 2 weeks before the event, I went to the volunteer meeting, and they were like, "Yeah, this is a Tea Party Express stop. There's going to be national media, Fox News, CNN," and at that point, that's when I started watching Fox News. And I was like, "You're kidding me. You want me to perform here?" I was like, "Well, check out this song that I wrote." And I shared Freedom just with a, I put a, because the library, the laptop didn't work, but I had this CD with an instrumental on it. And I was just going to share the music with the volunteers there. Well, they ended up not having, the CD player didn't work. So I was like, "Look, I really, really want y'all to hear this song. Can we all go out into the parking lot?" So we go out into the parking lot of the Hoover Library in Waco, and I put the CD in my car, turned the radio up, opened the doors, and I performed it, like, right there. I mean, you've got the library, the Rent-A-Center, just all kinds of different people walking around in this little shopping area, and I'm outside performing Freedom for, you know, 15 or 20 people, and when I was finished, they were like, "Oh, my goodness, we've got to get you on stage when the actual national show comes through." And on September 3rd, I went into fury mode and I got to do some really top-notch photography. I went and I got it professionally recorded. A friend of mine, a brother of mine in faith, blessed me with money to have it recorded and some artwork and stuff done. And so I had a legitimate package to present when the Express stopped in. And I performed that song on September 3rd, 2009, and from that point, it's just been go, go, go. You know, I've continued learning. I've continued my involvement. I've worked my way up in 2 years from a volunteer for Right Track Ministries. Today, I'm the executive director of Right Track Ministries. We just won the 2009-2010 Golden Apple Award for Partners in Education, and I'm working hard at it. That's definitely something I'm doing. But I've traveled the nation twice with the Tea Party Express. I'm very, very involved with not only the National Tea Party Express and some other great organizations that I'll tell you about, but also very involved on the local level.
Let me throw in one question, David, if I could. Mm-hmm. I know that you found Christ after you got out of prison, and you said what really motivated you to go to church is whenever your wife, then your girlfriend, became pregnant. But looking back on your experience in prison, it didn't have to be the way that it was. There are a lot of people who go into prison and they actually learn how to be better criminals. They network with the criminal gangs. They get involved in the prison gangs. They come out and they're a more hardened criminal than they were before, and they actually escalate and go into, after meeting other people who committed other crimes, even more serious forms of criminal activity. You say Absolutely. You found God after you found out your wife was pregnant and you decided on your own to go to church. Looking back at what prison did for you and how you began self-educating yourself, I get the impression God found you first.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you pointed that out, because that did happen. My first year in prison, the first 6 months in prison, I was just, I started going to the little church gatherings, but I loved the music, and I was really feeling the spirit, and that's the only way I can explain it now, but, and I cried out at that time, "I hate this world, I hate everything, I mean, I hate family, I hate this world, I hate my community, I hate my life," and I was really, really frustrated. And when I went to church, I really felt comfortable, but it ended up, you know, I got tired in prison, and I write about that in the book that I'm putting together right now, but I got, you know, just prison, in prison, the church is a place where gangs meet. There's some great people who go, and I'm so happy that they take the time out of their day to go and minister to prisoners. But a lot of prisoners will take advantage of that. They use it for gang meetings and to pass information and stuff like that. So I kind of was turned off from it. I got myself into some trouble. And when I went into high security, spent a year in high security, maximum security prison in West Texas, and that I was exposed to Muslim ideology and anarchist ideology that really turned me away from believing that the Bible was the inspired word of God at all, you know, and so that's why, even though I was learning and working to be more positive and productive, I definitely, God found me first, and I met God. I have to say that I met God in prison, but I didn't accept him. I didn't give in. I guess I just hadn't reached that rock bottom yet where it was just me crying out and saying, I'm nothing. I have nothing. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. All I have is you, God. And I guess that's the best way I can explain it, is that I had other options, and I chose to go in different directions than to say, all I have is you, God. Whereas when my girlfriend at the time got pregnant, all I had was God, and I admitted it, and I spoke it, and I just said, I don't know anything else. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get. I know where I want to be in life, and I know that it's possible. And I know that I can convince myself that I can do it, but I don't know where to start. I have no clue where to start. And that's when, that was a difference. You know, I met God in prison, and he accepted me with all of my flaws, with all of my ill-based ideology, with everything that was wrong with me. He worked in me, and he carried me through that, and I got out of prison ready to be successful. I found God, started studying, and then the Tea Party thing happened, and my wife and I, because I went from a local rapper, minister, community outreach individual to a nationally recognized act in overnight, basically. I mean, it really happened overnight, and now I've been from coast to coast, over 15,000 miles in the air. Just in this year, since January of 2010, and it's really miraculous. But all glory goes to God. You know, I am willing. You know, there's no telling what God has planned for us. But I know that first and foremost, my soul is not for sale, and I will continue. My number one priority in this life is my family. That's the ministry that God has given me first, and that's my wife and my children, I have my daughter who's 2.5. She's going to be 3 in March. She's battling leukemia. And then my son is like 3 months old. He was born in August. And they're my first. You know, I can't do anything if I'm not tending to my family, making sure that my children have the attention that a father needs to give to children, my wife, the attention that a husband needs to give to a wife. And I do that by studying the Word of God, and I learn more every day about the Word of God. I focus on my family, make sure that I have something, make sure that I'm very intentional in how I live with my family, not just live around my family, but live with my family. I have to make sure that my family is so strong that I stay strong, because that's my strength. And then everything else comes after that. But in my work and professional life, Right Track Ministries is my number one priority. Making a difference in the lives of these young kids, reevaluating how we approach education, what is effective and what is not effective when it comes to educating young people. And I'm looking at it on the district level, you know, not only in Waco, but throughout this whole Congressional District 17, I will be studying the different independent school districts and learning about how they're operating, learning about the city councils, how much money they've allocated every year towards economic development, and finding out what's the best approach to developing our lowest of income communities while being fair and balanced when it comes to developing our local economies on the city and district level, city, county, and congressional district levels. And, you know, I have a dream, you know, I have a vision that God has put in my heart to revolutionize the way we educate our young people, revolutionize the way we approach city management and economic development on the local level, and really how we engage our elected officials. Hi, baby. My daughter just walked in the room.
That's absolutely fine. We're very informal here on the Tea Party Power Hour.
Yeah, so it's
she's a beautiful little girl, David. She really is.
Thank you. She's strong too. She's just kicking this cancer's butt. I mean, she's doing really, really good. And so that it's the Tea Party Power Hour Radio. Say God bless America, okay?
God bless America.
Okay, thank you. So I'm family man, you know, and that's where I just believe that the family is going to be one of the biggest things that we need to work on to make a difference in our city and in our state and in our nation.
You know, just listening to you communicate, and you communicate like someone who at the very least has a bachelor's degree, if not someone who's been successful in grad school, I've got to wonder, you know, I mean, it's, first of all, you don't sound at all like a guy who was in maximum security prison 4 years ago. But have you bumped into, and as part of your outreach ministry, have you bumped into any of those people that you used to hang with? And what do they think of the new David Saucedo, the new politic? I mean, do you ever encounter any of those people?
Yeah, I do. You know, like I said, I live in one of the lowest income communities in Waco, and I bump into people all the time. And, you know, it's unfortunate. People think that I've learned a bunch of stuff and that I'm smarter than they are, but it's absolutely not anything to do with me being smarter. I learned how to humble myself, and when I humbled myself the first time to learn the Word of God, it matured me, to, I guess you can say. And so I took that same maturity and approached learning about American history, learning about business success, learning about everything, knowing that I don't know it all, knowing that there's always new ideas. And so when I deal with people, they want to know what's the secret, what's the key to success, what's this and what's that, and I just I do what I do, and I always invite people to be a part of ministry. I always invite people to be a part of my life, and I don't mix family with ministry, so I don't allow a lot of stuff around my house. Family is my home, and then outside of my home is ministry, so I try to keep it separated as much as possible. But I always invite people to get to know me, and because when they get to know me, they're going to get to know practice. They're going to get to know a Christian that practices moral lifestyle, a lifestyle of helping others, a lifestyle of learning, a lifestyle of giving back. And I do have people who just don't get it, and then there's people who ride the fence for a little bit and finally get it, and then there's people who changed their life. You know, I mean, I've had kids say that they want to be ministers, and kids that say that they want something different, and that's why I do what I do. I mean, there's no amount of money in this world that could give more reward than seeing even a kid or an adult say that they want something different. They want to be a blessing. They want to be productive, or they want this or that. And so, you know, I just, on God's time, different people accept it, different people don't. I have family members that completely disagree with my political involvement. I have people in the faith that completely disagree with my Christian, me. You know, I've had people say that I'm mixing the blood of Jesus with tea. And, you know, it sounds crazy, but I've got to be humble and say, well, you know, I appreciate your perspective. I disagree with it, but you know, I love you the same. You know, people who like adamantly disagree with me, I love them the same. I treat them the same. I don't treat anybody different. I try not to get offensive when I'm debating, because I don't want to leave an ugly. I don't want to ruin relationships. You know, relationships are really important. But sometimes people just don't have the facts straight, you know, setting them straight takes a stern talking to. But, yeah, I definitely do. I do have people that disagree and agree, you know, and people that know me from the past, there's no arguing it. You know, there's some people I've lost friendships because, and not necessarily because of my political involvement, but because there will be no drugs around my household. There will be no cussing and violence, and, you know, and I've asked people to leave my house, and there's, you know, there's different things that family members, it was okay our whole lives, and now today, it's not okay. You know, it's not okay to come to my house if you're going to do certain things. And so people choose to stay away or people choose not to talk to us, but that's just a sacrifice that we have to make.
I would think that there would be many people. You know, your story is very, very inspiring, but for someone who actually knew you before, you would think that it would just be an excellent example of how one can turn their life around. And I don't know that I can find the words to express just how impressed I am with what you've done, and I don't know that there are words that can offer enough congratulations for what you've been able to do. Now, one of the byproducts of, you know, what's happened is you've gotten to meet a lot of very famous people as you've toured with the Tea Party Express. Talk to us about some of the people you've met and the interactions you've had with them.
Oh, man, it's just amazing. You know, I met Sarah Palin, and I've met her quite a few times, and sometimes it's a quick passing, and because she's, you know, trying to get away from the mob of, not the mob, that's it. Yeah, let them, yeah, we're a mob. But people get so excited when she shows up. But then I've actually talked with her and had an opportunity to get her to sign my daughter's jacket. And
nice.
And I've met Newt Gingrich. I've met Christine O'Donnell. It's just Herman Cain. I can't even think of all the people that I've met. I got to meet some business partners and management team of Rascal Flatts or people that are involved with them. I've met countless Americans that may not be famous but are absolute heroes, and I got to meet a firefighter that was in the second tower when it came down, and that's he's one individual that I'll never forget. I've got his phone number, but and I'm going to stay in contact with him. I'm going to try to get him to come talk to our students. It's awesome traveling and meeting people, and then, you know, coming back home and getting right back down to the ministry, meeting with the directors of Dare to Dream, meeting with the Wakefield Care directors or the director, and getting back to working with the students that I work with and just making a difference, man. And more and more, I mean, if you think 2010 was a surprise, taking back the House, working close on the Senate, I would say wait till 2012, because there's things that are being worked on right now that are just going to blow people's minds. We had Tea Party HD traveling with us on the Tea Party Express, and you can check them out at teapartyhd.com. We had over 17 million people watching the Tea Party Express on this tour. That is amazing. In 14 days, that's over a million views a day, and it wasn't just here in America. It was Africa, Brazil, Venezuela, Russia, Australia, Jerusalem. The whole world was watching, and I know that it may be a few hundred people from each area, but That's just crazy to think that this Tea Party movement is so powerful that we are getting the attention all across the world. Now there's Tea Parties in Italy, there's Tea Parties in Russia, they just started a Tea Party in Israel, and it's like, it's moving forward. The important people, the individuals that God has created are waking up and making a difference, and we're just happen to be a part of that. You know, it's God has used us as a mouthpiece. You yourself as well, with your radio station and me with my hip hop and the work that I do, and I'm just really excited about 2012.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've been doing this since only about March, and a lot of people that know me have said, you know, wow, how did you get into that? How did you, you know, what made you start doing this? And the answer, David, is that I almost am not sure. I know that sounds crazy, but I was in a social networking site, a Ning networking site that I had created to try to spread the truth about global warming and, you know, what some of that was really about and some of the political motivations behind the scene and some of the monetary motivations behind the scene for people like Al Gore. And one day there was an ad up at the top of the the screen, and it said, you know, would you like to start your free Blog Talk Radio account? And I went into it. Within a couple of minutes, I decided I needed the professional version of the software or the account. And my very first guest was a guy named Lord Christopher Monckton out of Scotland, who kind of opposes Al Gore on a global basis. And since then, you know, I've been blessed to have people like S.E. Cupp off of Fox News. Last week, David Limbaugh. And you know, this week we've had Jerome Corsi, who wrote The Obama Nation and some other things. And it just seems like things have just sort of been happening, and they're happening at a rate that it's so fast, I really can't explain. I have other people who have radio shows on the internet, you know, write me and ask me, you know, how are you getting all these great guests on your show? How did you make, you know, how are you doing this? And, you know, they'll ask me how big my audience size is. And, you know, they've even, many of them started well before me, and they're not getting that yet. And you do kind of feel, you know, that there are a lot of people out there right now in various ways through their own talents that God has given them that are helping to promote this movement. You know, I remember whenever we were in College Station at the Rise Up rally, there was a man there who had written a book and, you know, felt motivated to do that. And he's traveling the nation, handing out this book, trying to talk to people about the...
That's,
you know,
the one with the little Hammer cartoon column. Book.
Yeah. And there's so many people out there, and, you know, God is finding a way to use them, so to speak, to promote this movement, at the same time to promote moral Christian lifestyle. And it's, I don't know how you feel, but sometimes I just, you know, I kind of look up and I say, man, if you'd asked me a year ago about this, I would have said, oh, come on, man, me on the radio, what are you talking about? And now it's just like it's happened, and you feel like it was meant to happen. And it is very humbling, because you feel like, you know, you're part of a much greater cause. You know, you're not focused on yourself. You're, you know, you're not trying to see how many widgets you can sell. You know, you're out there trying to do just, it's sort of like you're just doing what is right, and everything else is taking care of itself. And I know that's got to be how you feel.
Absolutely, man. We have to know that this is not a organized, planned out thing. Anyone who approaches this Tea Party movement and says, I did this and I did that, they're not going to last. I mean, anybody who tries to, you know, me personally, I don't agree with the Tea Party Patriots, the big one. You know, I just don't agree with it. But people who try to say, we're doing this, I did that, instead of just letting the movement happen, they're not going to last, because they're trying to take away from the people that are the roots of this. And it's the people that are tired of this government, the people that are tired of seeing these people just rape our communities and destroy our country. Those are the people that started this community. And by no means, I'm not talking about, there's a lot of Tea Parties that say, they call themselves Tea Party Patriots, and good for them. You know, so I'm not talking about anyone who uses that name, just some people in particular on the national level. But the people that are important are the yous and the me's, and the people that are out there, the grassroots, local level Tea Party organizers, the people that host these big rallies. It's not, there is no head of the Tea Party. The Tea Party is a grassroots people tired of officials that aren't leading. And so anybody who doesn't come at this humbly, who doesn't say, hey, you know, I'm just doing what I can do. Here's what God's blessed me with, this talent. You know, you're very well host. You host very well. I like that. I like the way that you host. Here's what I can do. Here's what I have to offer to this movement. I believe in it. I support it. I've donated financially to it. You know, this is the way that I can contribute, that I can make a difference. And it's those people, every single person that either makes a donation or organizes a rally, or writes an article that's controversial and gets a lot of attention, or calls into one of the national radio shows and speaks on behalf of their little group of circle, or their little circle of influence, or, you know, it's those people. It's the people like that that are important, that are the heroes, that are the, should be in the history books. And so if they don't come at this humbly, I predict that they won't last.
I think that has to be the case. You know, it's like my My father-in-law likes to say, and he always listens to my show, you know, Mark, you're just a little squirt. But the thing about this Tea Party is there are little squirts all over the country, and all you little squirts together are making a mighty river. And so I'm happy to be a little squirt. You're a big squirt now, but still happy to be a little squirt in the Tea Party movement. You know, one of the things that I'd like to have you address, because I think you're the perfect person to address it, is the various accusations that have come at the Tea Party. There's been a real attempt on the part of the left to mischaracterize the Tea Party, and the one that stands out in my mind is Ed Schultz of MSNBC saying that the Tea Party was nothing but a bunch of angry old white men. Now, you are a male, but like most people who found Jesus Christ, you seem very much at peace. You don't seem like you're angry. You're a young guy, and it's remarkable what you've accomplished at such a very young age. And you're also Hispanic. You're not white. So, as somebody who doesn't fit the left attempt to niche the Tea Party into a particular group, what's your response to these accusations that the Tea Party people are racist and the Tea Party people are just a bunch of angry old white dudes?
Well, I would approach it the same way that I do the argument that we're all Republicans. You know, if I ran for office, I would run as a Republican, but that doesn't mean that I'm the establishment Republican. And the same thing is my skin color, it doesn't matter. I don't even give them the time of day when it comes to skin color, because here's the deal. We have leaders that are not leading. We have officials. They're not leaders. We have officials that are not leading. And a lot of times, like for instance, because the TeaPartyHD.com was streaming live through the whole tour, you know, when we were in St. Louis, I had a girl that was coming up, and she was like, Obama, you know, big Obama supporter. I mean, actually suggested that Obama should just stay president. We shouldn't have any more elections. And do you know, within 3 or 4 minutes, she went from that to, well, if he hasn't done anything, then he needs to go, to anti-Obama on camera. And Tea Party HD will have, TeaPartyHD.com will be putting that up. I don't know if they already have or if they will be putting it up here in a couple of days. But the way that I did that, the way that I approached her, is I said, where are you from? Are you from here in St. Louis? And she was like, yeah. And I said, well, do you know how much money your city has spent on economic development? And, of course, they didn't. I said, well, you know, there's leaders that are spending millions and millions. While you can't find a job, while others can't find a job, they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars right under our nose. You don't have to go to the national level to find it. You can look right here in your own city, and if you look, they're wasting money. They're not doing anything that helps. How long? Where do you live? And she said where she lives, and I said, you know what? Just like in Waco, our lowest of income communities have been low income for decades, and these people that have been in power for decades have not done anything feasible, anything that's effective to change that economic situation. And, you know, they can call me racist all they want, but what they're going to find is while they're calling me racist, I'm finding out everything that they've done for the last 10 years, and I'm telling everybody about it. And if it hasn't been working, then the people that they're telling that I'm racist are going to be, as soon as they hear it, they're going to say, well, wait a minute, he's the one that told me you just spent $3 million for the last 5 years on economic development, but my area hasn't been developed in 10 years. Guess whose side they're going to fall on? They're not going to fall on this well-dressed, well-spoken individual who's trying to convince them that, oh, we know what's best for you, and you know, we'll do this and we promise this, because we're not promising anymore. The Tea Party is doing. The Tea Party is looking for solutions. The Tea Party is finding the people that are the caliber of leader that we need in Congress, in the Senate, in the White House. And so their racist comments, it's just a desperate plea. They see the tide is turning. There's more and more people waking up, and their time is limited. And they know it, so they're gonna call us racist. They're gonna call us all the names in the book, and it's not gonna work. And so, we uh, they can say that we're racist. They can say that we're angry. They can say that we're Republicans. They can say that we don't have solutions on our side. But we're tired of saying stuff. We're going to start doing things, and we've already started. So I like to tell them, watch.
Do you think it would be a fair comment to say that many of the members of the liberal establishment, many members of the Democratic community who claim to have the best interest of the African-American community and the Hispanic community at heart, in fact, actually view both groups as a voting bloc that they can control? Go ahead.
Absolutely. Using people for votes, and I'm writing a song right now called Who You Voting For, and it's going to blow them out of the water. It's going to slap people in the face because, you know, we have people that, I've had people come to me and just like, why are you against them? They're for this and they're for that. And I ask them, I said, how many of our young people in our public school systems, how many of our young people know about the county commissioner's court, the city council, and the board of education? And it's just a numbing silence. It's like really awkward, numbing silence because they can't answer it, because they're not teaching our children from, we should be teaching our young students from middle school age who's spending the money. It should be mandatory that our young people learn about the county commissioner's court, about the city council, about the board of education, because when you start teaching them who's spending the money, and it's easier for them to understand, things are going to change. They're not going to be able to hire a doctor here in Waco for work at the county jail for just under $250,000 a year, working 10 hours a week. They're not going to be able to do that because these young people are going to grow up and they're going to know, hey, wait a minute, I'm working, I'm paying taxes, and you're spending $250,000 a year on a guy that's working 10 hours a week. You know, that's...
Is that an actual real-life example?
Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. That's news here in Waco. We actually found that.
Does that hit the media there?
What's that?
Does that hit the media there?
Yeah, it made the media. He's no longer working for the county jail, you can put it that way. It's crazy. And the only county commissioner that voted to renew his contract, he's no longer there either. So... You know, it's
like
a Tea Party.
City council reminds you of that city council in California where they were all making, you know, six-figure salary.
I'm telling you, the Tea Party atmosphere is the reason why Americans know about that. And so I think that local government should be taught to every young person that goes through public education and private education. I'm a big-time... education guru. I love educating young people. I don't force my spiritual beliefs on anybody. We focus on what's an effective way to teach young people. And we feel that there's better ways than the current system. We're testing our kids to death, and we're wondering why other countries are doing so much better than we are in our education system. Education should not be a shove. It should be a hand up. And when you focus on what God has put in these young people naturally, instead of trying to make them all the same, it's just crazy at how much more effective an education environment is.
I've always believed in the old saying that, you know, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. I think if
Absolutely.
You look at what the government tries to do to help low-income people, it's the give a man a fish mentality as opposed to teach a man
absolutely.
To fish.
Absolutely. You know, I grew up on welfare, and living in one of the lowest income communities, I'm surrounded by welfare recipients. And I know the games, I know how it's taken advantage of. And so I would do a few things. Let's just say the government said, hey, politics, you're a nice guy. Why don't you run our welfare system? The first thing I would do is make it mandatory for drug tests, random drug tests for anyone receiving welfare. Then I would go a step further, and I would mandate that if you're receiving, depending on how much money you're receiving for welfare, it would be directly connected to the amount of community service hours that you're mandated to provide. Because we you know how many people would be motivated to succeed? Yes, baby. Okay. You know how many people would be motivated to get off of the welfare system and provide a better life for themselves if we did just those two simple things? You know, and also it should be a system. It shouldn't be an uncapped, never-ending bucket of poverty. It should be, okay, you come in, we're evaluating where you are. Here's, you know, we're going to take you through a process. We're going to take you through steps. You know, you have to turn in this many applications. And we would cut down, first of all, it would immediately cut a lot of the people that are receiving it and promote people to, it would promote the general welfare. It would say, hey, you know, if you want to start at the bottom, then we're here for you. It is a safety net. We do need a safety net. That's good. But we should not have a unintentional, never-ending, non-systematic, waste everybody's money approach to providing. I challenge anyone to show me where the Constitution says provide welfare. It does not say that. It says promote the general welfare. And so the local leadership and Tea Partiers and Tea Party organizations, we're going to work together. We're going to continue growing. This movement's not shrinking as much as they'd like to think it is. Some people are saying after 2010, you know, it's going to die down, and maybe in 2012 it'll be around, but after 2012 it'll be gone away. And that's just not going to happen because it's going to spread.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but what I'd like to do, and you're the kind of guy that has to be told to do this because you wouldn't ask and do it yourself, I would like you to tell my listeners how they can find your music and get copies of your music and learn more about you. I know you've got hopefully there's a place online where they can buy your music. I know there are YouTube videos about politics. I know that's not what you're about, but I'm going to ask you to talk about yourself and your music and how people can find you.
Awesome. Well, you can find me at politic.com. It's politik.com. You can order my CDs from there. You can order my CDs from teapartyexpress.tv. You can Google Politic and you'll find articles that are praising the work that I do, and you'll find articles from people that cannot stand that I'm involved with the Tea Party movement, and so it's a good little mixture of things. I'm going to be working with TeaPartyHD.com a whole lot, and so if you want to keep up with the work that I'm doing, we're actually putting together things where we can do video updates, and you can follow right along with the work that I do as we make differences here in Central Texas.
Well, I'm going to encourage everyone to do that. I think your music is catching the attention of a lot of people who might not otherwise notice the Tea Party movement,
yeah.
And I think that you're in a unique position to turn the light bulb on for a lot of people that, frankly,
we're definitely starting raising awareness in areas that the left is absolutely thinks there's no Tea Party principles in which that's Hispanic and Black communities. There's people waking up big time. And you know what? Another thing, one of the most important things that I do is work with young kids in the public education system, and we work on community development initiatives. We work with incarcerated youth, and that's righttrackministries.com. If you can spare a donation, if you want to donate to an organization that is making a difference, that is paving the way, I mean, starting with nothing, I mean, no matter if we have money or not, we're making things happen for our young people, for our community, for our city, and we want to spread that. We're going to be working with Marva Beck, our newest District 57 representative, and we're going to spread. We want these projects to spread all across the district, all across the state, you know, one day, whatever God has in store for us. But if you'd like to contribute to that, please visit righttrackministries.com and make a donation.
That is a very good suggestion, because this is a case where you know the money's reached the right people and make some good things happen. David, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today, and I'm going to go ahead and play some of your music on the way out.
All right, man. God bless you.
God bless you as well.
know the spill. When the country's key parties, we refuse to fall to the gangs being played behind White House walls. Let us break it down, tell you what it is and what it ain't. The power's with the people, but they want it with the banks. We just want us all to think, what does freedom mean? The right to be happy and chase your dreams. Well, the government's trying to push up on that. If they get what they want, all we own will be taxed. We gon' fight for the people, we making the calls. Our nation was born because people fix flaws. We gotta stand up before we lose our right to stand. The government should bow down to the people's demands.
They taking our land, we gon' take it back. To the truth, we agree, they'll be taxing that.
We won't lay down and let the rich take the glow. If we stand side by side, we the ones to control.
They taking our freedom, we gon' take it back. To the truth, we agree, they'll be taxing that.
We won't lay down and let the rich take the glow. If we stand side by side, we the ones to control.
I'm an everyday man with an everyday life. I work hard to provide for my baby and my wife. Come from a broken home, broken myself. I've changed my life, now I'm working on wealth. How the government gon' tell me to give it away? They let us eat free, so we'll do what they say. Why should I tell our people work hard and be blessed? If policies are just gon' tax them half to death, I'm not gon' hold my breath. I don't rap for thrills. 30 minutes of talk, explain a 1,000-page bill? No, policy gon' speak on that. If you can't tell me how it works, shut your trap. You better find you a friend, cause we don't play. If you all congressmen, we gon' know what you say. We gon' know how you vote, it best be good for us. We'll bring the streets to your office, we won't be shushed.
They taking our freedom, we gon' take it back. For the truth and the dream, they'll be taxing that.
We won't lay down and let the rich take the vote. If we stand side by side, we the ones in control.
They taking our freedom, we gon' take it back. For the truth and the dream, they'll be taxing that.
We won't lay down and let the rich take the vote. If we stand side by side, we the ones in control.
They must think we're dumb like we don't have no sight. They won't take away our rights without some kind of fight. We work to shed light on Washington Hill. A sign in D.C. says freedom for sale. We need the Liberty Bell to ring one more time. This goal to spread poverty is an overlooked crime. Yes, I'm still unsigned, but I'm speaking the truth. If America's our home, we got holes in the roof. That means problems at the top, none that can't be fixed. But the best I can say is learn to get in the mix. Some say corruption, that's just the way it is. Like Martin Luther King, I fight and die for my kids. I'm the real biz, I'm breaking social boundaries. Grew up in the hood, don't know how God found me, but hello, nice to meet you. Politic, if you not working for the people, we gon' make you sick.
They taking our freedom, we gon' take it back. Pretty soon when we free, they'll be taxing that.
We gon' lay down and let the rich take the blow. If we stand side by side, we the ones in control.
They taking our freedom, we gon' take it back. Pretty soon when we free, they'll be taxing that.
We won't lay down and let the rich take the blow. If we stand side by side, we the ones in control.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar, a production of the Conservative Broadcasting Network.